Lori Sue, if you're talking, we can't hear you.
Thank you so much. Oh, my goodness. Okay, Marianne Williamson said the law of divine compensation posts that this is a self-organizing and self-correcting universe. The embryo becomes a baby, the bud becomes a blossom, and the acorn becomes an oak tree. Grand rising beautiful souls, I'm Lori Sue III with Ashley. Thank you so much, Casper. Ashley, thank you so much, Casper. I love it. The harmonic. I'll be your harmonic engineer today, and it's Freedom Friday, May 28th. Welcome to the Growage Mastermind on the Good News Network, the best call ever, a place where we come together every week to lift each other up, lock arms, and see the possibilities to grow, to encourage one another, and to be reminded of who we truly are and what we're truly capable of. Today, we're talking about compensation, and not the kind that, like that's in your paycheck, the kind that's woven into the very fabric of everything around us. Here to lead us today is a very creative, talented Dougie Dance Queen, Ashley Casper. Ashley is a heart-centered entrepreneur and creative spirit from Crawford, Georgia, where she lives with her husband and their four kids. Since discovering the Glowage Mastermind in 2022, she's been on a powerful journey of transformation, showing up with encouragement, curiosity, and joy. Whether she's designing coloring books, inspiring fellow creatives, or sharing wisdom from her own growth, Ashley is passionate about helping others reconnect with their dreams and create lasting freedom through purpose-driven, heart-led action. All right, everybody, I'm so excited to hear from Ashley today, but for right now, I'm going to unmute the lines. Tell us where you're calling in from and your name.
Pat, North Texas.
Cat.
Grand Rising family, it's Angela Amazing in Northern California.
All
right.
Angela.
What's going on? All right. Someone
hey,
is
Donna.
Florida. I love my Glowage family.
Good morning, Angela. Amazing.
Hey, Albie.
Columbus, Ohio.
Hey,
Donna.
Hi, Arnie.
Hey, Arnita.
Hey, Donna.
Is in the house.
Linderica.
Love you, Arnita.
Good morning.
Another story to read today, and another celebration, Arnita, for finishing, completing another book on the way.
Oh, yeah. Lori Sue.
Hey, how are you?
Good morning.
What's up, Lori Sue? What up, LB?
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
LB. Hey,
Happy
Friday.
And the child said, what if I fall? But dear, what if you fly?
What if you fly? What a great way to get started this morning. Grand rising, everyone, and happy Freedom Friday. Thank you, Lori Sue, for the wonderful introduction. What did you say? The Dougie?
Oh, I said, ah.
No, when you were introduced, the Dougie Dancing Queen. The Dougie Dig. That had me laughing. That was so good. Thank you.
I
just also want to say that I spent a few hours in the car yesterday, and I listened to nothing but Lori Sue music while I faced some of just a few challenges yesterday that wanted to knock me on my butt. And all of the words in your music and the principles just kept zooming through my mind in the best way possible yesterday. And I was sitting down with my husband last night, and we were just kind of like relaxing after the long day. And he goes, how are you feeling? I was like, honestly, I'm good. Like, and in spite of all of the challenges, I'm good today. I feel like I was filled, like my cup was just constantly filled from your music. So I just want to say that. I want to say thank you, thank you, thank you for everything that you've created and that you continue to share. I love you so much. Welcome, everyone, to the Grow Rich Mastermind. This community has been gathering since 2009 with a vision of creating freedom through principle-centered leadership. Thank you for being here with us today. As Lori Sue mentioned, I have been tuning into this call since 2022, and it's just been the best journey. If I'm driving somewhere, like I said, I tune into the call live, and the last couple of times that I've had these appointments and I've had to go, I've been listening, and one of my kids has been in the car, and he asked me the other day, why do you listen to that? Because it was right after some of the really exciting parts. You know, we get a little bit energized here. And to some people that aren't on that vibe or that level, that can feel a little overwhelming, I think. But they just don't know what they're missing. But I told him it's because this call pours so much love and wisdom and encouragement and perspective into my world. And it always seems to show up exactly when I need it. And there are days when I feel like I am standing on an island all by myself. And it is not because I don't love my family, and it is not because they don't love me, but because sometimes the people that are closest to us are not always excited about things like growth and possibility and personal development in the same way that I am and that we are. And so here I'm reminded that I'm not on a lonely island. And this reminds me that, you know, there are people all over the world who are asking the bigger and the deeper questions. And they want to learn the principles and they want to challenge themselves and intentionally create better lives. And this community really reminds me that growth is normal and it's not weird. My kids like to make me feel like I'm weird, but it's not weird. And Lori Sue mentioned the transformation, and I'm not mentioning that for any recognition. I'm mentioning that to remind anyone else out there that's listening that may feel like they need their own transformation or they're ready for something different, that it is possible. You know, since tuning in here, I have become a better parent. I've become a better wife, much better entrepreneur and leader, and just overall becoming the best version of myself. And I couldn't be more thankful. I've learned to follow my passions and be more courageous. And I want everyone here to know that that's possible for them if they want it. And I'm just so beyond grateful for the love and the friendship and the encouragement. I could go on and on all day expressing my gratitude, but we're not here to listen to me talk about that specifically. So let's get into what I'm supposed to talk about. I got a little off there. So this community has been gathering since 2009 with a vision of creating freedom through principle-centered leadership. And we meet here every weekday at 9 a.m. Eastern time to study the laws of success. And, you know, this is just a space that reminds me that growth is something that, you know, we don't have to do alone. So let's do a quick energy check. I want to hear from all of you again. The energy was great at the beginning, but I need a little bit more. Are you excited to be here with me this morning? Are you choosing today to step into the best version of you that you can possibly be? And are you ready to make this one of the best masterminds ever on this Freedom Friday? Let me know as I open the lines right now. Love it, love it, love it. Thank you, thank you. All right. If this is your very first time tuning into the call, please don't let our excitement scare you away. I promise it is genuine. And the more you spend here, the more you'll realize that. And you don't have to shout out and yell with us, but it would be great if you did. So anyway, welcome to the Grow Rich Mastermind. I said that let's get into the announcement. So if you want the Mastermind Collection, which is a collection of the books that we read here, that we study together, the music that we listen to, a little bit of it all, you can get access to that just by getting back to the person that invited you. That is a free gift, and they will make sure that you get that. I hear a baby. All right. No, you don't need to apologize. That was a precious sound. So you keep doing what you got to do, Lori Sue. All right. Our book of the month is The Book of Elon by Eric Jorgensen. And our enemy of character this month is fear. And the other announcement is Freedom Fest. It is creeping up on us in the best way possible. It'll be here September 18th through the 20th in Branson, Missouri. So if you are interested in learning more about that, get back to the person that invited you. That is a nonprofit event, and the proceeds go to Feed My Starving Children. And you can join us either in person or virtually. So, you know, travel can sometimes be a little bit expensive, or you got kids and you can't always leave them, or whatever the reason is, don't feel obligated to have to be there in person. The virtual experience is really amazing, and you will not be disappointed, I don't believe, at all. So the virtual experience is just as valuable, but if you can be there in person, the hugs really do make a difference. And just the fellowship and the friendships that really get built while you're there. I have gained some of the absolute best friends from showing up at Freedom Fest and meeting some of you amazing people, and I'm just so grateful. So let's do, I didn't give you guys a heads up, so, but I'm doing it now. If you have your Freedom Crusaders manifesto ready, whoever would like to do that, star 6 and come on out and greet us with the Freedom Crusaders manifesto. We tend to do our major definite purpose on from Monday through Thursday, and then on Fridays we do it a little bit different. So Freedom Crusaders manifesto, you can star 6. Who would like to come out and do that for us today?
Jesse.
Awesome. Hey, Jesse. Thank you again for covering for me yesterday, and take it
awesome.
Away.
Awesome. It was so fun. Such a privilege. Thank you. Thank you. All right. The Freedom Crusaders manifesto. I have a definite purpose. Hold on. Just give me 2 seconds just to be absolutely sure. This goes over perfectly. I have a definite purpose to become financially free with self-confidence to back it up. I believe in myself and those that are around me, seizing every opportunity I can to practice initiative and leadership in providing service to others. I use my imagination to visualize my purpose and craft plans for its attainment. I mix enthusiasm with my work because enthusiasm is the force that energizes my body and my soul. I fill my heart with sincere gratitude every day. I exercise self-control to guide my actions with patience and discipline. I temper my desires by choosing to live within my means so I can save money, eliminate debt, and buy income-producing assets. I render more service than I am paid for, and I know that in so doing, definite intelligence will return even more in due time. I have a pleasing personality that is both genuine and sincere. I am an accurate thinker. I know that accurate thought is based on facts and not upon hearsay or random information. I concentrate by giving my undivided attention to but one task at a time. Struggling here. Okay. I cooperate by giving my undivided attention to put one task at hold on a second. Am I repeating that one? I am an accurate thinker. I know that accurate thought is based on facts and not upon hearsay and random information. I cooperate by giving my undivided attention to but one task at a time. I cooperate and mastermind harmoniously with others, believing that together we can do more. I profit from failure, my own and others. I always practice tolerance when dealing with others. I make the golden rule the foundation of all that I do that affects other people. I know that the long cut is the real shortcut, and I commit to putting in the time, gaining the knowledge, and doing the work required to earn my just reward. As a promoter, I produce meaningful, hype-dream marketing that matters. I believe the stairwell designed by the architect of the universe is leading somewhere great, and I strive to make my choices from this grand perspective. I seek to align myself with companies, products, missions, movements, and organizations firmly in alignment with these principles while avoiding those who are not. I will be the change I wish to see in the world, and even after I have obtained my freedom, I will continue to assist other crusaders on the path. Thank you, thank you. Back to you, Ashley.
Thank you, Jesse. I appreciate your service today, and I believe in you. I know I'm not the only one, so Freedom Crusaders, as I unmute the lines, please let Jesse know just how much we love, appreciate, and believe in her.
Thank you, Jesse.
Amazing.
Aww, yeah. Thank you, Jesse. Love you. Thank you, appreciate you. Thank you.
All right, y'all are the best. So yesterday was such a good call. I got so much out of it. But one specific thing I wanted to kind of talk about today, Lori Sue was sharing about the law of compensation and how it related to her new grandson. And it really got me thinking. So she was mentioning about a phase that the experts call purple crying, and where a baby is going through periods of intense crying and discomfort, and it is completely normal, but I think it can probably be really alarming to parents. And, you know, we want to soothe, we want to comfort our children, and we don't want them going through any pain. And as Lori Sue was sharing, she mentioned, you know, the idea that maybe this is part of the baby's compensation for arriving in this world. And I don't know if that's true, but I think, you know, what she said and that idea really stuck with me. And it got me thinking about all of the different ways that the law of compensation shows up in our lives, whether we recognize it or not. And my mind immediately went to my children. One of my sons recently called me really excited that he had finally received his raise at work. And he's been learning a lot of different new areas of the business that he's working in and taking more responsibility. And just, he's, for the most part, really enjoying what he's doing. He is enjoying learning new things and figuring out what it is that he wants to do. But as a mom, it's been really fun, you know, to watch him. And what's kind of funny is that if I were to ask him, what do you know about law of compensation? He would probably look at me and go, huh? And have no clue what I was talking about. So he's not studying Napoleon Hill, and he's not analyzing universal laws. He's just living. But he's making mistakes, and he's adjusting, and he's learning, and he's growing. And more importantly, he's showing up. Even on the days that he does not feel like it, he shows up, and he works hard, and, you know, he'd probably rather be doing something else, but he keeps showing up. And that has really kind of impressed me. And as I've watched him over the years, I've noticed that the law is working whether we know it or not. And that's one of the reasons that we come to this call, right? So that we can better understand the call, study the principles, and we can work with them more intentionally. But the reality is that they're operating whether we understand them or not. And within 6 months of starting this job, my son received a promotion and a raise. And let me tell you, when I was his age, I remember getting raises that were like 50 cents an hour. This kid got a $2 raise, y'all. And when he told me about it, he said, oh, it's only about $40 more a week. And immediately I found myself like, okay, we got to have a conversation about gratitude. So I played divine positioning for him. And I repeated one of the lines that always stands out to me. The grateful mind fixes on the best of everything, and the best keeps finding its way back in. And we had a really great conversation about that. And he kind of laughed at me, but I think he heard what I was trying to say. Because while I wanted him to appreciate the money, what I really want him to appreciate is, you know, what he had created. The raise was not random. You know, he's earned respect and trust at this job, and he's had more opportunities come his way. And it's not just in his job, it's in his life in general. Because just a few years ago, this same young man was struggling with some very different lessons. He was feeling entitled to freedom, to more privacy and more privileges. And there was just this attitude that, you know, give it to me and I want it. I want it now and that's it. And he hadn't yet really connected those things to, you know, taking responsibility. And that was really painful to watch. It's, you know, thinking back to the purple crying, like feeling like, man, why isn't he getting it? I just want to help him move past this pain that he's feeling. You know, we can see the lessons, the outsiders looking in sometimes, and we can see the connections. And part of us just wants to help them understand it faster. We want to spare them the discomfort. But that's where the law of compensation is also working on me. The lesson for me wasn't teaching him. It was maybe learning to step back and learning to trust the process and allow the consequences and the results to do the teaching that my words were not doing at that point. And, you know, we cannot force someone to learn these lessons. And we can't grow for them. We can't understand and we can't compensate for them. They have to connect those dots themselves. And now looking back, I can see the law at work, that the freedom came from the responsibility. And he can see that too. And we talked about it. And, you know, the trust has come from, you know, after time and time again of being consistent, you know, opportunities came after contributing to something. And that's just how the law works. And how often do we want to, you know, we want the raise, we want the growth, we want the business results or the recognition or the freedom without fully appreciating the investment that is required to create them. And maybe that's one, you know, one of the gifts of studying these principles is that we begin to recognize that the law is always operating. And it's not just in our business or our finances. It's in our everyday lives, in our families, in our relationships, our health, and our personal growth. And when we can begin to understand that, we stop resisting the law and we start working with it. So that was my takeaway from Lori Sue's share yesterday. And I just wanted to share that with you. It's, you know, it's not just something that we study. It's something that we are living out every single day. And the more we can look for it, the more I think we can overcome whatever the obstacles are that we're trying to overcome. Look at that. Perfect timing. All right. We are going to jump into page 9 of compensation. This is by Ralph Waldo Emerson. And I'm going to jump right in. For men are wiser than they know. That which they hear in schools and pulpits without afterthought, if said in conversation, would probably be questioned in silence. If a man dogmatize in a mixed company on providence and the divine laws, he is answered by a silence which conveys well enough to an observer the dissatisfaction of the hearer, but his incapacity to make his own statement. I shall attempt in this and the following chapter to record some facts that indicate the path of the law of compensation. Happy beyond my expectation, if I shall truly draw the smart arc of this circle. Polarity, or action and reaction. We meet in every part of nature, in darkness and light, in heat and cold, in the ebb and flow of waters, in male and female, in the inspiration and expiration of plants and animals, in the equation of quantity and quality and the fluids of the animal body, in the systole and diastole of the heart, in the undulations of fluids and of sound, in the centrifugal and centripetal gravity, in electricity, galvanism, and chemical affinity, superinduced magnetism at one end of a needle, the opposite magnetism takes place at the other end. If the south attracts the north, if the south attracts, the north repels. To empty here, you must condense there. An inevitable dualism bisects nature so that each thing is a half and suggests another thing to make it whole. As spirit, matter, man, woman, odd, even, subjective, objective, in, out, upper, under, motion, rest, yea, nay. Whilst the world is thus dual, so is every one of its parts. The entire system of things gets represented in every particle. There is somewhat that resembles the ebb and flow of the sea, day and night, man and woman, in a single needle of the pine, in a kernel of corn, in each individual of every animal tribe. The reaction so grand in the elements is repeated within these small boundaries. For example, in the animal kingdom, the physiologist has observed that no creatures are favorites, but a certain compensation balances every gift and every defect. A surplusage given to one part is paid out of reduction from another part of the same creature. If the head and neck are enlarged, the trunk and extremities are cut short. The theory of the mechanic forces is another example. What we gain in power is lost in time, and the converse. The periodic or compensating errors of the planets is another instance. The influences of climate and soil and political history are another. The cold climate invigorates. The barren soil does not breed fevers, crocodiles, tigers, or scorpions. The same dualism underlies the nature and condition of a man. Every excess causes defect. Every defect causes excess. And so I wanted to actually look this up while I was reading it, just to kind of better help me understand it. Sometimes I ask ChatGPT to explain things to me like I'm a teenager. He's talking about the idea that, so he's saying that when something gets too big or too strong or too extreme in one area, there's usually a weakness that shows up somewhere else. And if you spend, so let's kind of simplify this into examples. If you spend all your time playing video games, that's the excess, your grades, your health, your relationships might suffer. That's the defect. You know, if you're spending all of your time working, your relationships with your family, you know, you may have an influx of income because you're working all of, you know, all this extra time, but your relationships with your family may suffer. So that's kind of how that works out. And, you know, you don't get the upside without some downside. And for my son, the story was, you know, the raise is the gain, but the gain came with a cost. He gave up, you know, sleeping in, he gave up some free time, he gave up some comforts and took on responsibilities. And that's the every gain has a loss side. But, you know, as a parent, that was a gain of confidence watching him mature. And I had to give up some control. I had to allow him to struggle. I had to let him make some mistakes. That's the compensation. So what I hear Emerson saying here is that life doesn't really hand us anything for free. Everything comes with a trade-off. Every gain asks something of us, and every challenge is going to give us something back. The question is whether we're willing to pay the price for the thing that we say that we want. So back to it. Every sweet hath its sour. Every evil is its good. Every faculty, which is a receiver of pleasure, has an equal penalty put on its abuse. It is to answer for its moderation with its life. For every grain of wit, there is a grain of folly. For everything you have missed, you have gained something else, and for everything you gain, you lose something. If riches increase, they are increased that use them. If the gatherer gathers too much, nature takes out of the man what she puts into his chest, swells the estate, but kills the owner. Nature hates monopolies and exceptions. And that one also really stood out to me. And, you know, there's this idea that no one gets to have everything. No one gets all the rewards with none of the responsibility, or all of the strengths with none of the weaknesses. It all kind of, you know, balances it out. And, you know, sometimes we might look at a famous athlete, let's say, and think, oh man, they've got it all. But we don't get to see the injuries that they endured getting there, the pressure, the criticism, the sacrifice, and the years of practice. And, you know, I think that that is something that we have to pay attention to. And that's what Emerson means. A teenager might say, I want freedom to do whatever I want. But nature's going to say, okay, then you also get the responsibility that comes with all of that freedom. So, anywho, all right, back to it. The waves of the sea do not more speedily seek a level from their loftiest tossing than the varieties of condition tend to equalize themselves. There is always some leveling circumstance that puts down the overbearing, the strong, the rich, the fortunate, substantially on the same ground with all others. Is a man too strong and fierce for society, and by temper and position a bad citizen? A Morris Rufian with a dash of the pirate in him, nature sends him a troop of pretty sons and daughters who are getting along in the dame's classes at the village school, and love and fear for them smooths his grin scowl to courtesy. Thus she contrives to soften the granite and feldspar, takes the boar out and puts the lamb in, and keeps her balance true. The farmer imagines power and place are fine things, but the president has paid dear for his White House. It has commonly cost him all his peace and the best of his manly attributes. To preserve for a short time so conspicuous an appearance before the world, he is content to eat dust before the real masters who stand erect behind the throne. Or do men desire the most substantial and permanent grandeur of genius? Neither has this an immunity. He who by force of will or of thought is great and overlooks thousands has the charges of that eminence. With every influx of light comes new danger. Has he light? He must bear witness to the light and always outrun that sympathy which gives him such keen satisfaction by his fidelity to new revelations of the incessant soul. And I think I'm going to stop right there. Let me just finish this last sentence. He must hate father and mother, wife and child. Has he all the world loves and admires and covets? And we can pick up on Monday on page 13. Let's jump into our mastermind. The law of compensation and thinking about all of that yesterday just has me reflecting on a lot of different areas. And maybe it has you reflecting on your areas, and I want to hear about them. So, let's see. This is a non-company specific call. Please no mention of company names, system names, or home business leader names unless the leaders are a part of our community. This is a spiritual mastermind, but not a religious mastermind. So please avoid dogmatic religious terms and ideas as much as possible. Good vibes only. And get us another. hitting star six. Who would like to come out first?
That's me, it's Lori Sue.
Hey, Lori Sue.
Hey, I just want to say I was listening and hearing what you said in the beginning. I want you to know I heard you, I see you, and I so appreciate, love you. Glad that the music helped. And just thank you for all the amazing ideas and words and thoughts that now are in my mind and heart about what we've been reading and compensation and life just all around us. And the give and take, and the good and the bad. I guess we get to take it together,
yep.
And know that part of the it's just all part of the deal, and it's working for our good all the time. So,
isn't that a refreshing idea to just hold on to?
Yeah, it's like it's right. It's really
yeah, so good. Yeah, and thank you for bringing it. You know, you definitely had me. My brain swirling yesterday with these ideas. So thank you. The feeling is mutual.
And little Callum was crying and kicking and fussing, and now he's not. So
yay.
You know, when parents and grandparents, when the caregiver's back is hurting and they're moving around, then baby's comfortable.
Right? It happens that way all the time.
I'll have to look at that. That's probably part of life. Maybe I do that sometimes. Thank you so much again. Love you.
Love you too. Thank you, Lori Sue. All right, Star Six, who else has something for us this morning? How is the law of compensation showing up in your life? I want to hear.
Well, morning, Ashley. It's Gail.
Hey, Gail.
Or actually, I'm going to call you Aunt Ashley because you put the baby to sleep with your reading.
Oh, I take it. I'll take it.
He's going to be growing up with a law of compensation. He's going to be really dynamic. So this was so cool how you actually, you know, looked deeper into it because this is no fluff here. This is not a reading that is like super, you know, easy, right? It's
yeah.
definitely not easy. And you
yeah.
have to think about what you're reading, think about what it means. You looked up stuff for us and explained things to us, and that was going above and beyond, you know, just the reading, which was really, really nice, and I appreciated it. And it means more, you know, the book means more now, and I think that people will even want to read it more on their own and go deeper into some of this. This is, like, so cool how it's written. It's just not a normal way that we speak.
Right.
And it's very deep. It's very deep and meaningful. So I first time that I've actually really caught a lot of it, because we have, you know, obviously read it before.
Mm-hmm.
But you can never read it enough because it's got, I mean, every sentence has like, wow, let me read that again and let me really understand it. And, you know, get it into my heart and soul, you know, and how can it
yeah.
make me a better person? So I loved it. I loved every minute of today. And so I just wanted to come out and say that, you know, to thank you for showing up and what you do, what we all do, and all of the harmonic engineers and and everybody listening. I hope you guys have a wonderful weekend, and back to you. Hope everybody else comes out and shows appreciation too, because you definitely deserve it.
Oh, I appreciate that, Gail, and I feel it. Thank you so much. And, yeah, when I was reading it, I was like, ooh, this is really deep. And I was thinking I would get through a few more pages, but it did kind of slow me down. But, yeah, we have to, thankfully for AI, we have, you know, that ability to say, hey, can you help me understand this? And I share a good bit with AI personally, just because I use it in a lot of different ways in my life to continue to grow and improve. And because I do that, I'm able to say, how is this relating in my life currently? And it's able mm-hmm. to really help me see little puzzle pieces, you know, and put mm-hmm. them together in a way that I probably wouldn't on my own. So technology these days, guys, it's amazing.
And how great is that, too, because that overflows to our families and to
yes.
our, you know.
Yes.
So anybody that we're in contact with. So it's the pebble in the pond kind of thing.
Yeah.
Just makes us better.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. Star 6. What's up, Paul?
How's it going?
Amazing. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for the call today and for your awesome energy. Loved listening to everything you shared and resonated with your stories and what you said about, it's not that I don't love my family, and it's not that I don't love some of the people that are close. It's just that sometimes they are not as intent on staying in as high a vibration as they possibly can. In fact, I would say they probably don't even really think about that very much sometimes. A few thoughts came to mind through the reading. One is a random sales thought, which is funny that I thought of this. In this compensation, when Ralph Waldo Emerson is, talking about polarities, and he's like, there's in, out, up, down, black, white, I don't think he says black, white, in, out, up, down. He talks about the systole and diastole of the heart. He talks about the way, how the tide comes in and goes out. You've got light, you've got dark, you've got, you start to notice, like the yin yang type of thing, positive, negative. You start to notice that, wow, like this is really everywhere. There is this polarity thing, but the sales point with it is you start to get into an agreement frame. And an agreement frame in sales is where you are saying things that people find themselves agreeing with. And what they say in sales is that the tendency is if you can, I'm not asserting that we should try to do this. I think it is a good idea. If you're giving a presentation or even in a personal one-on-one interaction, it's not a good idea to argue with people, right? It's not a good idea to be like, you're wrong, I'm right. Because what does that do? That kills the rapport. And so it is a good thing to strive to say things that the people you're speaking with can generally agree with, and then strive to minimize the things one might say where you could have someone in the audience where they're like, no, that's wrong. That is false. Because from a sales standpoint and an influence standpoint, the more people feel like they are different from you and they disagree with you, the less likely they are to follow your suggestions. So I guess I'm saying that is generally a good thing to do, but I'm not saying we should do that with the intention of manipulating people. And that's where I guess I wanted to make part of the point was, if you find yourself getting into an agreement frame where you're like, yes, 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 we want to be a little bit careful, because the slippery slope is that we could just accept everything that follows because we were agreeing, and there may be something that's not good that comes later that the mind wouldn't catch because we were in that agreement frame. So that's totally random. But the other thing that I wanted to share is the quote from Leonardo. It's attributed to Leonardo da Vinci. I guess there's some debate as to whether or not it actually came from him. But Steve Jobs picked this up in Apple, and I really like the quote. He said, simplicity is the ultimate form of sophistication. And as I listen to Ralph Waldo Emerson, I do love the words, and I love the thought, and I love the philosophy. And I remember Earl Nightingale and Jim Rohn, who were both two great communicators, who seemed to shrink the entire book of compensation down into two simple examples, and I want to share them. One was, and I share this with my kids all the time, you go up to the stove and it's in winter and you're cold and you start talking to the stove and you're like, give me heat, give me heat, give me heat. And the stove is sitting there looking back at you saying, stop being so stupid. Put some wood in first. I need wood if you want heat. And then the one from Jim Rohn where he says, imagine the farmer in the field staring down at the soil saying, give me crop, give me grain, give me potatoes. And the ground looks back at the farmer and says, don't bring me your need, bring me your seed, and then I shall return that which you seek. That is, those two are the practical examples, I think, of the whole book of compensation and how we can utilize it in our daily lives and in our businesses is be the farmers that are always planting seeds. Plant seeds everywhere we go. Give everywhere we go. Do shine light everywhere we go. Give, give, give. Give, give, said the little whatever the story is. You can tell me what that is, Ashley. But that's how we put the law of compensation to work for us, as we be the ones that are always putting wood in, and we be the ones who are always putting seed in. So I just want to share that. Thanks for letting me share. Hope you all have a great day. Back to you, Ashley.
Thank you, Paul. And I'm not sure what story you were mentioning. I may have lost my train of thought there, but I was thinking about the agreement frame that you mentioned. And while random, that was really good because I have been on the bad end of that. And I've been that one that was like, oh, so excited, I'm in that agreement. And later I realized, like, oh, I should have slowed down and paid attention. So that really spoke to me. But what did I miss? What was the story you were talking about?
It might have actually been a song from church. Lori Sue probably knows that it's like, give, said the little tree, maybe something like that.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah, I'm not familiar with that. So, yeah, that might be Lori Sue. But thank you, Paul. Great shares. And I love the way that you said the summary of this book, too. don't give me your need, give me your seed. And that was really good. Really good. Love those. Thank you so much. All right, Star 6, who else wants to come out today?
Hey there. It's Gibbs at the little stream as it hurried down the hill.
That's it.
There we go.
Thank you, Lord. You can tell I didn't go to church very much when I was a kid.
All right. Star 6, who else is out there?
Oh, hey, it's also give, said the little rain, and give then as Jesus gives.
So okay. Cool. Jesse, did I see you coming out?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, all right. I heard Minister Christian and I heard Jesse.
Go ahead, Jesse.
Oh, thank you. I didn't think you heard me, so I switched phones. Oh, my gosh. I just loved everything you shared. And one thing, I have to apologize. I did not do a recap yesterday, so somehow I'll put the quote out and make up a little for that today. It was a hectic day right after the call. However, as you were telling your story about your son, I was in the process of putting an image together for a post. And it is from Zig Ziglar. And it wasn't the one that I had recited yesterday at the beginning, but I thought, wow, isn't this interesting? And I just love how the universe works, infinite intelligence, so powerful. It came upon another Zig Ziglar quote, and it just reminded me a little bit of what you were sharing about your son and how he has shifted and changed. And I know that this is the piece that has been influencing him without him probably even realizing it from you. And the quote is, when obstacles arise, you change your direction to reach your goal. You do not change your decision to get there. And it just made me feel like your son was looking to achieve a goal, whether he realized it or not in his mind. But what he may have needed to do was shift and change his direction. And it seems like that's what happened here. And look what's happening for him. And it's all that compensation. You know what Paul was saying, you know, we've got to put the seed in. You've been planting the seed for your family, and it's starting to sprout. And that's just what I was getting from everything that you were sharing with such compassion and love and sincerity that I can just feel through the lines here. And I just wanted to share that, how that just happened to come across for me, and I just felt it had to be shared. So just love you, Ashley. Just keep doing what you're doing. You're just absolutely amazing. And back to you.
Thank you, Jesse. Thank you so much. Yeah, I don't think I really looked at it that way, but, you know, whenever he was not making all of the best decisions, he had that desire for that freedom, that, you know, that independence, that privilege and, you know, the opportunities, but he wasn't willing to do the work, but he did keep his eye on the goal, and he shifted his decisions, he shifted his actions, and yeah, I don't know why I saw it, but I didn't see it, so you helped me see that a little more clearly. That's so cool.
Oh, and you know, one last thing, you were talking about compensation and how you've asked Chad to explain something to you. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it quite perfectly, but what I thought, like, wow, that is it. You know, we have to ask better questions, and yeah. You mentioned, how can I better understand this? How can I apply this? That's what it was. I believe that's what you said.
Yeah.
But that question, right, that we need to understand, yes, there's confusion. Yes, we may not completely understand this reading, but now we know we can find resources that can help explain it and clarify it for us, that those are the questions we need to ask and then take the action so that we can get the clarity. So, I mean, it's just love this call.
I do too. So good.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, Minister Christian, come on out.
Oh, yeah.
Got the butter for the buns. Let's go.
Yeah, we got the butter pouring on the buns of hope and glory. And thank you so much for all you do, Ashley. Thank you for your service. Thank you for your clarity. Reading compensation and law of compensation is not easy. I've read it a few times before, and you know, the language can lose people, but the intention is there, and it has helped a lot of people, and I'm glad we do go over it, and thank you for reading it. Thank you for everyone in our community that's here live and on the replay. Shout out to, Amy Star Allen's birthday is today. Happy birthday, Amy.
Oh, happy birthday, Amy.
Absolutely, absolutely. I love our community. Shouting out to Mama Dodie Rita Joy. Mama Elizabeth, I hadn't heard your voice. Come out if you hear. We got to do like Mama Elizabeth do with us. We got to go put out a search team and see what's going on. You know, we're going to keep going on this Freedom Friday. I thought about the three treasures. The three treasures is something I study where it says, and it's a Buddhist philosophy, that the three treasures that we have is the treasures of the storehouse, things we can collect, cars, material things, treasures of the body, and the treasures of the heart. And I'd all strive to have the treasures of the heart. The treasures of the heart are what's most important out of anything material, anything that we could do for ourselves, just having a heart to help. And this community has a heart to help. And I thought about what you were saying about your son, Ashley, and his triumph, his victory. You know, we see things as victory based on a lot of times, is it monetary or how much money is attached to it? And that stops a lot of people from growing, stops a lot of people from doing what they love, because we've all been beaten down by people that even love us. How are you going to live? How are you going to do what you love and live? How are you going to pay the bills? You need to go be a doctor or a lawyer or get a degree. I mean, that's just been the way of thinking. But now things are changing, so we see we can monetize our passions, and this community is helping us do that. We have the actual tools here in this community. So I just want to encourage everyone to just keep moving forward. You know, I've been in the birth room. I've had four sons, and birth sometimes can be pretty messy when you're coming in. So understand that when you're here, it's a growth process. If you have the need, you got to plant the seed. If you don't plant the seed, nothing's going to grow. Nothing happens magically. It has to have something, some type of effort. But when you do your part, the Creator does the rest. Stop worrying about how, but keep the vision alive, knowing that you're going to get there as long as you never give up. Keep moving forward. Be the change you're born to be in this world. Love you, family. Oh, yeah.
Love you too, Minister Christian. So good. Treasures of our hearts. Love it. All right. We've got 8 more minutes. Star 6. Who else wants to come out and make this one of the best masterminds ever?
Hey, Ashley.
Hey, Albie. I hear Albie and I hear Brett. I got you, Brett, coming up next. Go ahead, Albie.
Oh, thank you, Ashley. I just wanted to say I appreciate everybody coming on the call this morning, and Minister Christian, you're awesome. And Ashley, I love everything you've been talking about this morning. And, you know, I know, like, when you first came out this morning and talking about how you were having a hard day, I think, I don't know if it was yesterday or what, but then you still, like, you know, you didn't let the hard day dictate to you. You dictated to the hard day.
Yes. That doesn't happen often, by the way. Like, I really want to emphasize, like, this community and the music here is absolute, because I don't do that very easily, very often. So that was a win.
Well, that's good. That's awesome. Yeah. I love that. And I really can relate to that, because it's like, that's the sign of a real warrior.
Thank you. Wired for war. Let's go.
And the other, I just wanted to chime in also on what Paul was saying, because, you know, there's a Bible verse that says the fear of man is a snare. And what it's basically saying is that if you know, the nod and agree, the nod and agree, the nod and agree, not that there's anything wrong with that, but if you really know that there's something that you should be saying and you're not saying it, you're allowing your fear of what they think of you to dictate what you should really be standing up for. And, you know, it says, you know, that you should stand up for the things of God above first, right? Because that's the actual thing that matters, is what are you saying out of your mouth is truth, or are you just agreeing with everybody, you know? And that really strikes me hardest, because that's hard to do, actually. That's really some insane warfare there.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you want to just agree with everybody, and you want people to like you, and, you know, but learning how to step out of that. And I don't mean to be rude. You don't have to be rude to people. You don't have to be mean to people, but you should still stand up. But anyway, I just wanted to share that little thing, that little thing that I got. And thank you, Ashley, for everything.
Thank you, Albie. And yeah, that was really great. You know, I know for me personally, I don't ever think that I'm doing it because I want someone to like me. My reason is always to keep the peace. And, you know, that's what I've labeled it as, is I just want to keep the peace. But are we really keeping peace if we're just keeping all of that inside? You know, that's what I had to ask myself.
Yeah.
So good. Thanks for bringing that up, Albie.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.
Can I throw out a couple other thoughts on that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, this is a super interesting, thread of thought. Because I agree with Albie. I agree with everyone. Just kidding. I do agree with Albie, and there are things that we want to stand for, and there are things we don't want to compromise on. Here's a couple things that I think about is it ever even possible for two people to completely agree on every single thing? I guess we can all answer that question for ourselves. For me, I don't think it's even possible for two people to completely agree on every single thing. So the question in communication becomes, do I harp on the points that I know we don't agree on, or do I guide my communication to kind of center on the places we do agree on, to do what Ashley said, which is to keep the peace and keep harmony? So that's one thing that I think about. Another thing that I think about is, if my goal of standing for the thing that I think is true and I think is right, if my goal is to persuade the other person to my side of things, then the question is, how well does it usually work to tell them they are wrong, or to tell them they are evil, or to tell them they are bad? My experience has been that usually that is not the best influence strategy, because usually when you tell somebody you're wrong, I'm right, because even you can even say God said so, and you're wrong because God said. If they disagree and you say that, it is unlikely that you will change their mind. And they will be mad at you, and they won't want to be friends with you, and they won't want to hang around with you anymore. So while we are standing for the things we believe in, one thing that I think about is so if telling them they're wrong doesn't work very well in helping them to change, what does seem to work well? And one thing that I do think can work well, it's not a guarantee, but it can work well over time, is the power of example and the power of somebody watching your actions and your behavior and then kind of like coming to their own conclusions, like, wow, that person really impresses me. I would like to be more like that person. What is he or she doing differently that I'm not doing? And kind of in their own mind, they see your example, and then they start to choose to change. It's like that quote, a man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. But if you can show an example over time, then the chances of that person changing because they stayed around you go up, I think, at least. And so then the next step of the logic, this train of logic for me, is if I can keep people around me longer and keep people around good influences longer so that they have more opportunities to have good examples in their lives, so they have more opportunities for they themselves to decide to change, is that a good strategy as compared to the telling them they're wrong? So I think about those things in communication. So just throwing them out as food for thought.
Great food for thought. Thank you, Paul. All right, Brett, if you are still there, come on out. Share your thoughts with us.
I know. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Yeah, I know we're out of time. But I just heard something really good. I love what Paul just said, though. Yeah, one of the things is, Do I need to say it? Like, what is it really that important for me to get my point across? Sometimes I have to look at why is it so important to me that I have to sometimes be right, because I want to make a stance on my values. But anyways, I just wanted to leave the call with this. I heard a really good saying yesterday. I thought it was so awesome. She said, you know, if you're waiting, right, we all are in the valley waiting sometimes, and it, you know, sometimes it takes some time, right? It's always his timing, not our timing. So she said, while you're waiting, do what waiters do while they wait. What do waiters do? They serve. Ha! I love it. So, yeah, it's always better to get out of Southwest, serve more, especially in the valley, because it really is true. If you can, you know, help somebody else in the space, like Rhonda always says, knowing that they can't repay you. And the secret is don't tell anybody about it. That's between you, God, and them. But it doesn't even have to be money, I always say. It could be just your time, right? Sincerely ask them where they're at, because even if you're in the valley and you give them your time, I mean, if you sincerely listen, they might be coming from a space that's worse off than where you're coming from. So you never know. So anyways, everybody have a blessed weekend, and back to you.
Thank you, Brett. Wow, we had some gold nuggets during our mastermind today. Thank you all for making this one of the best. Thank you to Brett, Paul, Albie, Minister Christian, Jesse, Gail, and Lori Sue for having the lights on and the amazing music. Love you all. Make today a great day, and we'll see you back on Monday.
Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Have an awesome day. Love you, too.
Oh, yeah. Have a great day,
guys. Thank you.
Make it a great day, guys.
Keep the music going.
Have a great day.
Whoa. How do you make dreams come true?
It takes faith to make your dreams come true. Life has something special right here for you. Everything has a season, a reason to grow. So don't be discouraged by your obstacles. Never give up your right to be happy. Never give up. Be all you are meant to be. Things will always come to get us down, and it only gets worse when we start to frown. Let's keep hope alive in our hearts. Smile with gratitude, that's when the magic starts. Never give up your right to be happy. Never give up. Be all you are meant to be. Never give up your right to be happy. Never give up. It's your life for eternity. Never be defeated, even if you are mistreated. Stand your ground right where you are. Don't give up on your dreams, no matter how hard it seems. Move forward and follow your heart. Follow your heart. Never give up your right to be happy. Never give up. Be all I'm meant to be. I'll never give up my right to be happy. I'll never give up. It's my life for eternity. I'll never give up.
Never give up, never give up, never give up.
I sold the farm and chased the fading light.
Left everything I loved for diamond mines at night. But the river ran right through my own yard. The sands were white, the flash was always there. I walked across it every day without a prayer. I just couldn't see what love had set apart. What I'm looking for is not out there. It never was. It's living right here. It's right here in the ground beneath my feet. Right here where the soil and the sacred meet. Not out there. Not in someone else's life. Right here in the love that stays beside me.
There's a thinking stuff that fills the wide universe. Every vision, every dream is already known. Like the oak that waits inside the tiny acorn. Every gift you'll ever need is in your bones. But you've been listening to voices that aren't yours. Trading your divine design to stay in line. The blueprints are written deep inside your spirit. You were born to let that majestic nature shine. Not the noise or what they think of you. Not the shame of what went wrong. Not the dramas, detours, or delays. This has always been your song. Let your soul speak louder than the static. Let your purpose rise above. in every room and people felt, not because he needed them to see. He just loved and lifted everyone around him, a soul that chose to live completely free. That's not luck and that's not fortune, that's a heart that decided I am enough. Stopped waiting for permission to live fully, kept shining when the
fair wage and a park out the door, 55.
beneath the skin, our sacred right. More love, more light. There's always enough room, even better than you found us. Let the faith fill every room. Don't just talk about your blessings. Give them something they can use. It's not power over people, it's the increase that we share. What I want for me, I want for you. It's the impression that threshold. Guard the words you let slip through. Never speak of lack or shadow. Don't let doubt inhabit you. For the world is caught in gears and springs, a cold Newtonian wheel. They're chasing hours, buying clocks, and begging time. They live inside a scarcity where days are running thin, but the creative mind steps out of time and lets the light rush in. For time is not a master track, it stretches and it bends. It yields to the observer where the competition ends. The ticking of the frantic crowd is just a false machine. We step into the quantum space, the vast and the unseen.